On the day when some faces will become radiant and some faces will become dark, as for those whose faces will become dark, it will be said, أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ? Did you reject faith after accepting it? Allah gave you this treasure of Iman. Allah gave you this gift of the Quran. Allah gave you this gift of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you just despised it. You didn't even bother to study it. Did Shaitan say, I don't believe in Allah? No, he didn't say that. Shaitan said, I'm not going to obey Allah. He knew that Allah existed. He knew the angels existed. He knew everything that was going to happen about the angels and the day of judgment. But despite that, he said, I'm not going to obey Allah. So when we know what's in the Quran and we still turn away and shrug our shoulders and say, no, this doesn't have the answers for me, then this is what we can expect. But on the other end of the spectrum, Allah says, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ أَبْيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ. As for those whose faces will be radiant, they will be in Allah's mercy. Therein they shall dwell forever. The point is, Allah is trying to tell us, is that once you have experienced the beauty and joy of Islam, then that beauty and joy will manifest itself on your face on the Day of Judgment. There's this American convert by the name of Amina Silmi. She was a very successful woman by worldly standards when she accepted Islam. When she accepted Islam, what happened? She lost her job, she lost her husband, she lost her children because the court took the children away. Eventually, she developed cancer. Now, when this woman came to Pakistan, someone asked her, how do you think of yourself before Islam and after Islam? And she's very poor now by worldly standards. And this woman said, before Islam, I was like a pretty little cup, a jeweled cup, a jeweled goblet, but the cup was empty. And after Islam, I am an old cup now. The cup is almost broken. It's shabby, it's worn out, but it's brimming over with Allah's love. It's brimming over with joy constantly. These are those people. As for those whose faces will be radiant, we need to understand the joy that is in Islam, not perceive it as an oppressive religion. They will be in Allah's mercy. Therein they shall dwell forever. Tilka ayatullah. These are the verses of Allah. It's not an ordinary book. It's the book of Allah. It's a great gift of love that Allah has sent us. You know, when our best friend sends us a letter or sends us an email, how carefully we read it. We read it again and again lest we miss something out. These are the verses of Allah. We recite them to you in truth, and Allah does not will any injustice to the world. There is no zulm in Islam. There's no injustice, no discrimination, no oppression in Islam. That's what the name of Jahiliyyah is. That's what ignorance is all about. Islam is enlightenment. Islam is knowledge. Islam is tolerance. And Allah reminds us, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. Remember, at the end of the day, all matters go back for decision to Allah. مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Master of the Day of Judgment. He alone will decide our fates on that day. And now Allah defines the Muslim Ummah. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You, O Muslims, are the best people raised for mankind. You enjoin that which is right. You forbid that which is wrong, and you believe in Allah. This is such an inspiring ayat. Muslims today, downtrodden, oppressed, despised, thought inferior by the rest of the world, branded as cheats, liars. Allah is saying, you're the best of nations. When are we the best of nations? When we enjoin that which is right. When we take a stand for truth. When we forbid that which is wrong. When we check persecution. When we check oppression. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, help your brother, whether he is a zalim, someone who is doing wrong, or being wronged. And they said, well, how do we help the zalim? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by stopping him in his wrongdoing. Islam doesn't say turn the other cheek. You're supposed to defend yourself. You're supposed to stop oppression. And why do we do this? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Because you believe in Allah. You're doing it for Allah's sake. See, nowadays, we find
some of the Western countries also like to pride themselves on doing this,
enjoining that which is right and forbidding that which is wrong. What then is the difference? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. They're not doing it for Allah's sake. When we do these actions for Allah's sake, so Allah may reward us, only then will we become the best of nations. And look at the words Allah uses. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. We have been created as global benefactors, not as global disasters as we've become today. And have the people of the book believed, it would have been better for them. Amongst them are some who have faith. Now Allah doesn't condemn everyone. This is the justice of Allah. But most of them are disobedient to Allah. People do you no harm, barring a trifling annoyance, and if they fight against you, they will show you their backs, and then they will not be helped. Indignity is put over them wherever they may be, except when under a covenant from Allah and from men. They have drawn on themselves the anger of Allah, and destruction is put over them. This is because they disbelieved in the signs of Allah and killed the prophets without right. People say that Allah says that the Jews are really persecuted, and look at the Jews today. They're controlling everything. They control the media. They control the banking system. They control everything. So how can this be? Now we can read in this ayat 112 for ourselves. Allah is saying here that the only way out for the Jews is either if they were to truly return to Allah or they were to form ties with the superpowers, the covenant from men, which is what they have done today. And that's how they're escaping Allah's wrath up till now. This is because they disobeyed Allah and used to transgress beyond bounds. Now after criticizing those amongst them who are doing wrong, Allah again reminds us, لَيْسُ سَوَىٰ. They are not all the same. We shouldn't just generally condemn a people. A group of the people of the book stand for the night. They recite the verses of Allah during the hours of the night, prostrating themselves in prayer. Whenever Allah mentions these actions, we should think about ourselves. Do we ever get up and pray tahajjud? And especially in this month of Ramzan, the Prophet ﷺ told us in a hadith that during the last third of the night, Allah comes down to the lowest heaven and asks, who is there who seeks my mercy? I will grant it to him. Who is there that seeks my forgiveness? I will give it to him. So if we have any problems, that's the time we should be seeking Allah. At all times, but especially at that time, when everyone else is asleep. See how much Allah loves this act, to pray, to remember Him during the night. Prostrating themselves in prayer. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. They believe in Allah in the last day. Iman means trust. Iman means that if adwa is not being heard at this point in time, I don't say, well, I don't believe in Allah anymore. I say that there must be some good in this for me. Because we know from a hadith that three things happen when you make a dua. Either that dua is answered immediately, or some disaster is averted from you, or that dua is stored up for you in the shape of sawab. And so much sawab that on the day of judgment, a man will see all his duas which were not answered and will call out, I wish that none of my prayers had been answered. We make a dua and we want it to be answered right now, immediately. But on that day when we see all the sawab Allah will have granted us, for all the duas which were not answered, we will wish that none of our duas had been answered. And that's something worth pondering over. Allah goes on to say, وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. They hasten in good deeds. Not our attitude, well, I'll think about it and maybe I can go tomorrow. Maybe I can give that sadqah tomorrow when I have some more money. They hasten in good deeds. They know the time is precious, every minute is passing quickly, and they are among the righteous. And whatever good they do, nothing will be rejected of them. This is how much Allah loves us. See, remember the story when the Muslims were collecting material for the Battle of Tabuk, and one man came forward and he spent all night pumping a well, and he had just gathered enough money to buy a handful of dates, which he presented to the Prophet ﷺ. And a group of hypocrites sitting nearby burst into derisive laughter and they started saying, look at this, is this how we're going to win the battle with a handful of dates? And the Prophet ﷺ was furious with them and he told them how precious that handful of dates was in Allah's eyes. Whatever good they do, nothing will be rejected of them. See how Allah invites us towards doing all good. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالْمُتَّقِينَ. For Allah knows well those who are Allah conscious. At the end of the day, it's not the quantity you give, it's the quality of giving. It's the spirit with which you give. Surely those who reject faith, this is very important, for people who turn away from Islam, who renounce Islam, neither their wealth nor their children will help them against Allah. See, it's so ironical that sometimes, due to people's cruelty, we do the greatest cruelty to ourselves by rejecting Allah. People have done zulm to us and we blame Allah for that zulm. People are the ones who have been unjust to us and we say it's Allah's fault and I'm rejecting Allah. This is Shaitan's greatest waswasa. Allah says, remember those who reject faith for whatever reason. Neither their wealth nor their children will help them against Allah. They are the dwellers of the fire. We talk about hell, we read about hell, and we don't even cry. But if we were to even put our finger in the fire for 1 second, we could not bear it. They are the dwellers of the fire, hum fiha khalidun. They will live therein forever. Now let's think about the pain we might be going through in this worldly life. Should that pain be the cause of our inflicting greater pain upon ourselves? That I say, because someone is being cruel to me, I'm going to reject Allah and thus ensure a lifetime and eternity of cruelty for myself in hellfire? Allah says, they are the dwellers of the fire, they will live therein forever. Such are the penalties for one who turns away from Islam. The likeness of what they spend in this world is the likeness of a wind which is extremely cold. It struck the harvest of a people who did wrong against themselves and destroyed it. وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ Allah did not wrong them. This is the greatest principle to remember. Allah does not do zulm. In the hadith, Allah says, يَا عِبَادِ إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي O my slaves, I have made zulm haram upon myself. وَجَعَلْتُهُ مُحَرَّمًا بَيْنَكُمْ And I have also made it haram amongst yourselves. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا So do not be cruel to one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah did not wrong them, but they wronged themselves. By not valuing Allah, by not appreciating Allah, by not seeking Allah's help and instead turning away from Him. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, take not as your close friends those outside your religion. Why? La ya'alunakum khabala. They will do their best to mess up your thinking. Why is Islam forbidden close friendship with non-Muslims? Is it because Islam is biased or prejudiced? No. The true reason is, as I mentioned earlier, it's a question of loyalty. We wouldn't want to sit with someone who was abusing our parents or speaking ill of our parents or anyone we loved. The second point is that they will mess up our thinking. When you go on sitting with someone, your close friend is someone you identify with, someone you feel close to, someone you confide your secrets to and they're telling you their secrets. Now what happens after some time you start resembling your friend? Allah says, لَا يَأَلُونَكُمْ خَبَالًا They will do their best to corrupt you. To give you one instance of this, the Orientalists, and those are people, non-Muslims, who studied a lot about Islam, and then they come up with distorted versions of Islam. They've come up with a theory that the Prophet ﷺ was called Amin, which means trustworthy, not because he was trustworthy, but because his mother's name was Amina. Now, anyone who knows Arabic would think that, yes, that's quite plausible. He could have been called Amin because Amin is a derivative from Amina. See, that's one way that they mess up our thinking. So people say, no, he wasn't that great, he wasn't that trustworthy. He was simply called Amin because his mother's name was Amina. They'll say it with such conviction. All the people today who negate hadith. No, we don't know which hadith are authentic. And don't you know that all the hadith were burnt and people just made them up. And we don't know which is right. So we'll just stick to the Quran. لا يألونكم خبالا. Allah is warning us here. Like a mother warns her child, don't play with that child. He is not a good influence on you. They will not fail to do their best to corrupt you. They desire to harm you severely. Hatred has already appeared from their mouths, but what their breasts conceal is far worse. Indeed, we have made plain to you the verses if you but understand. If we look around at what's happening to the Muslims today in Chechnya, in Kashmir, in Palestine, do the non-Muslims care? Certainly not. You are the ones who love them, but they love you not. And that's our tragedy today. We're sucking up to them. We're groveling before them. We're trying to please them in any way that we can. But they do not love you. They despise us. And you believe in all the books, while they disbelieve in your book. That's the difference between them and us. We believe in their books and this Quran, and they reject our book. And when they meet you, they say we believe. They like to pretend that they're very sympathetic towards Muslims, that they're not biased, they're not prejudiced. But when they are alone, they bite the tips of their fingers at you in rage. أُلْمُوتُ بِغَيْزِكُمْ Now if we still want to say, no, that's too far-fetched and I don't believe that, that's fine, but this is Allah who's telling us this. They bite the tips of their fingers at you in rage to show the extent of the venom that they bear us. Say, perish in your rage. Indeed, Allah knows the secrets in the hearts of men. Now again, this is not all the non-Muslims, but this is a group of them. If a good befalls you, it grieves them. But if some evil overtakes you, they rejoice at it. And we can see many instances of that as well. Allah says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا But if you are patient, now this is sabr and taqwa. Now these are weapons not just against the non-Muslims who might be harming us, but against anyone who could be cruel to us. Two weapons Allah has given us, sabr and taqwa. Sabr has three aspects. Number one, to be constant in good deeds. Not like people who say, well, I've prayed and prayed and I see that my prayers aren't having any results, I'm not going to pray anymore. No, that's not sabr. Sabr is that you go on doing those good deeds because you're doing them for Allah. The second aspect of sabr, to be constant in abstaining from evil. People say, oh, we tried giving up interest, it's just too difficult, we can't do it. No, to be constant in that. And the third aspect of sabr, to be patient in times of difficulties. Now, I've mentioned earlier that sabr doesn't mean that you finish off all emotions within yourself. Sabr simply means you channelize that negative emotion into positive outlets. Like the Prophet ﷺ, when his baby son died, what did he say? And he was crying. And people said, why are you crying? He said, the eye weeps and the heart grieves. But we will only say that which pleases our Lord. We are allowed to feel pain. We humans, Allah doesn't say become these superhuman beings who don't feel any pain or sorrow. But the key point in His statement was, we will only say that which pleases our Lord. That's sabr. وَتَتَّقُوا, and you are Allah conscious. You know that Allah will answer your prayer. Allah will help you, even if it seems like that help has not yet come. لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيَا. In such a situation, if you're using these two weapons, their cunning will do you not the slightest harm. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. Allah is surrounding all that they do. Even if it doesn't seem like it, even if it seems like the other person has the upper hand, remember Allah has encompassed their actions. Now we start on a discourse on the Battle of Uhud. Now I'd like to give you a brief background before we start. We find that the Battle of Uhud took place the year after Badr. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to fight from Medina, and so did the hypocrites for different reasons. They were just too afraid of going out of Medina. But his followers wanted to go out and meet the kuffars, so the Prophet ﷺ agreed. Now what happened was, en route to the battle, 300 hypocrites just defected. They just ran away. Now as a result of which, two tribes were disheartened, but the other companions persuaded them to stay on. Now the odds were, 1,000 Muslims against 3,000 kafirs. And after those 300 hypocrites left, there were just 700 Muslims against 3,000 kuffar. Now the Prophet ﷺ posted 50 archers on the top of a hill behind the Muslims and warned them, do not budge until I send for you, even if you see vultures pecking at us. And really the Prophet ﷺ had no military experiences before this, but this was Allah's rahmah upon him, the brilliance of his strategy. Now when the battle started, originally the Muslims were winning despite the odds being against them. So the kuffar began to flee. Now when they began to flee, some Muslims started picking up the wealth, the booty. And when the archers saw this from top of the hill, they said, hey, let's go for the booty, the battle's over. Their leader tried to stop them and he begged them, he said, don't go. The Prophet has warned us not to leave. And they said, no, the battle's over, and they ran down. Khalid bin Walid, who later on became a Muslim, saw this. He seized the opportunity to lead a rear movement against the Muslims. And he led an attack against the Muslims from behind, as a result of which great panic spread amongst the Muslims. And someone called out that the Prophet has been killed. Now this was an untrue rumor. In fact, at that point of time, there was a group of companions standing around the Prophet ﷺ defending his life. And he kept on calling out to the Muslims, come here, I'm here, ilayya ibadallah, towards me. But they were just too confused and panic-stricken to listen, and so they fled. And after, there was a sort of general stampede and many Muslims were martyred. But the battle's outcome was really indecisive, because although the kuffar won, they did not finish the Muslims off completely. Now we'll read the verses. And remember when you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left your household in the morning to post the believers at their stations for the battle of Uhud. And Allah is all hearer, all knower. When two parties from among you were about to lose heart, these were those two tribes who were originally disheartened. But Allah was their protector. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. In this battle, one of the most important lessons we learn is tawakkal. Even if things are going against you, trust in Allah. And Allah has already made you victorious at Badr when you were a weak force. So fear Allah much that you may be grateful. Remember when you said to the believers, is it not enough for you that your Lord should help you with 3,000 angels sent down? Yes, in tasbiru wa tattaqu. Again, the two weapons being told to us, sabr and taqwa. If you are patient and Allah conscious and the enemy comes rushing at you, your Lord will help you with 5,000 angels having marks. And Allah made it not but as a message of good news for you and as an assurance to your heart. And there is no victory except from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise, that He might cut off a part of those who disbelieve or expose them to infamy so that they retire frustrated. If you think about it, although the Muslims lost, it was Allah's mercy upon them that the kuffar did not eliminate them completely, which they could have done. But somehow the kuffar didn't even think of it, and obviously this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on the Muslims. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Not for you is the decision, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether Allah turns in mercy to them or He punishes them. Indeed, they are the wrongdoers. This is a very crucial ayat for us today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at one point was standing in the midst of that group of companions, and the kuffar were pelting stones at him. And two of his teeth broke, and he was wiping blood from his face and saying, how can such a people succeed when they have wounded the face of their Prophet? And at this saying, that's all he said. He simply said, how can such a people succeed? And this verse was revealed later on. Not for you is the decision. Even you, O Prophet of Allah, do not have the right to pass judgment. Now let's think about all the judgments that we delight in passing. Oh, she's so evil, she's definitely going to hell. And you know, so and so is definitely not going to go to Jannah. When Allah did not allow even His Prophet to make such a statement, then what right have we to pass such casual judgments on people? وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Remember, to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. Even if we are serving His deen, that does not give us the right to share in Maliki Yawmiddin. That power belongs to Him alone. Allah will forgive whom He wills, and Allah will punish whom He wills. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. And we find that many of those kuffar later on became Muslims, notably Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا الربا أضعافا مضاعفا. O you who believe, do not eat interest, doubled and multiplied. واتقوا الله. And be conscious of Allah. لعلكم تفلحون. In order that you may succeed. Now what's the link? One minute we're speaking of the battle of Uhud and the next minute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of interest. The link is that it was the greed of the archers that led them to disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even today, it's greed that leads people to go on taking interest and coming up with these excuses. No, no, they were just money lenders and we don't know, and that's not the same form of interest. Allah says, just look at the outcome of that greed which led them to disobey the Prophet of Allah. They lost the battle. So Allah is giving us a clear message that if greed for worldly wealth, love of wealth, leads us to disobey Allah by taking interest, then we know what to expect. Disasters in this world and the next. And fear the fire which is prepared for the disbelievers. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obey Allah and the Messenger that you may obtain mercy. This is so important. People say, you know, I've been praying to Allah for Rahim and Allah has not shown me any Rahim. Allah has not shown me any mercy. Allah has still not answered my duas. Allah is telling us, do you want mercy? Then how do you seek that mercy? How do you receive it? By obeying Allah. And by obeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again and again we find the importance of sunnah being emphasized. People say, oh, the word haram has not been used for wine in the Quran. Even if the word haram has not been used in the Quran, we find it has been used in the sunnah. And people say, well, it's not the Quran, is it? Allah says, obey Allah and the Messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, the gist of which is that I should not find that any of you were to be lying on his couch and someone brings him a command from me and he says, well, this is not in the Quran. And this is what people say, well, it's not in the Quran, is it? I mean, the sunnah isn't the same thing as the Quran. Allah is saying quite clearly here, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ. Obey Allah and the Messenger. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. If you wish for mercy. But if we're not interested in practically seeking mercy, we just want to sit and cry about our woes, then we needn't expect anything from Allah. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And race towards forgiveness from your Lord. How do we like to obey Allah? People say, oh, I'm not ready to read the Quran yet. I'm not ready to start praying yet. I'm so young. I need to have some fun before I do all this. So they keep on putting it off. Allah says, what are you waiting for? Race towards forgiveness from your Lord. If you were to hear that a treasure is being distributed, people hear that free injections are being given and they land up at that place on that same day. Allah says, race towards forgiveness from your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ. And a garden which is as wide as the heavens and the earth. In this month of Ramzan especially, in these first days, first 10 days, the Ashra of Rahmah, where we should constantly be praying, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Nastaghith. O Eternal One, O Sustaining One, we seek Your mercy. Allah says, race towards me. Because we find in a hadith in which Allah says, the gist of which is, that when my slave walks towards me, I run towards him. If he draws near me by a handspan, I draw near him by an arm's length. But we need to take that first step ourselves. Who are the muttaqeen? Who are the Allah conscious? We all like to think we're Allah conscious. Oh, Allah knows how much I love Him. الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend in good times and in bad times. Not people who say, well, you know, I gave so many sadqas and Allah didn't hear my prayers, so I'm not going to give any more sadqas. No, those who spend when they have a lot to give, and they also spend when they have less to give. وَالْكَازِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And those who suppress anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those who forgive people. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. And indeed Allah loves those who do ihsan. We find a very beautiful story about this ayat. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting and his slave girl was pouring water for him to do wuzu and she accidentally spilled the water all over him. Now imagine how furious we would feel if our servant were to drop the water over us. So he was furious. So quickly she read, وَالْقَازِ مِنَ الْغَيْزِ, those who suppress anger. So he was quiet. And then she went on to read, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, those who forgive people. So he said, alright, I forgive you. And then she read, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسَنِينَ, and Allah loves those who do ihsan. And he said, go, I free you in the name of Allah. Those were the companions. They heard an ayat and they acted upon it. Not like us, we probably have scolded and now don't start giving me a lecture after dropping the water. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسَنِينَ, Allah loves those who do ihsan. Now we can decide which degree we wish to attain. What is the degree of ihsan? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined it, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, when you worship Allah as if you can see Him. When you obey Allah as if you can behold His glory, His magnificence, His light. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Remember, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Allah loves those who do ihsan. What is ihsan? To forgive someone who is bad to you. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعْلُوا فَاحِشَةً, those people who when they have done something wrong, they're not angels, they're ordinary people, they do make mistakes. أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, or they wrong themselves. Allah reminds us that when we sin, we're actually wronging ourselves, not Him. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ, they remember Allah. That's the difference between them and other people. They are ordinary people, they do make mistakes, but when they make mistakes, they remember Allah. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and they seek Allah's forgiveness for their sins. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah says, Ya ibadi innakum tukhti'una billayli wal nahar, O my slaves, you sin night and day. Wa ana aghfiru dhunuba jamia, but I forgive all sins. Fastaghfiruni, ask my forgiveness. Aghfir lakum, I will definitely forgive you. So when they remember Allah, they don't just say, oh Allah is ghafoor rahim, and so Allah's not going to ask me about it. Fastaghfirullah, they ask Allah's forgiveness for their sins. Wa man yaghfiru dhunuba illa Allah, and none can forgive but Allah. We should seek Allah's forgiveness. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا, most importantly, they don't persist in what wrong they have done. Not like us, we say, Toba, Toba, I shouldn't say this, and then we go ahead and say it anyway. They do not persist in what wrong they have done. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, while they know. Once they know the truth, they act upon it. أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ مُجَنَّاتٌ, for such, the reward is forgiveness from their Lord, and gardens with rivers flowing underneath, wherein they shall live forever. وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ, and how excellent is this reward for those who do. We all want Jannah, don't we? We're all quite sure we'll get there. We should read this ayat and analyze ourselves first. Many similar ways were faced by nations that have passed away before you. So travel through the earth and see what was the end of those who disbelieved. Allah says, do you doubt that the Mu'mineen will eventually succeed? Do you doubt the power of Allah? Just travel in the universe and study the history of those who have passed before you. هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ, this Qur'an is a clear statement for mankind. وَهُدًى وَمَوْعِزَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and a guidance and instruction to those who are al-muttaqeen, the pious. If we wish to receive the true message of the Qur'an, then we need to develop that quality of taqwa within us.